This Twitter space was recorded live on Thursday, November 25th, 2021. Hosted by Gawkenstein Media, it's a Terra Luna AMA featuring Doquan. Let's take a listen.
Terra USD into a smart contract, and then Subera can use the yields that are generated from this deposit to purchase subscriptions. Not only that, because they're able to negotiate subscriptions on bulk, in the future, you can get to a state where Subera can leverage their market position and the size of the total AUM that they're managing to get preferential rates on, you know, a lot of the subscriptions that they're bringing on, which is also interesting. Pylon as a last touch point is a gateway to use anchor yield for investments. So, you know, instead of, I think one of the worst things about, you know, like the traditional ICO model is that retail investors could, you know, buy various different types of assets and lose their principal, almost all of it. And in the case in which they're buying it on leverage, like sometimes even more than their principal. But with Pylon, they have this thing whereby instead of paying the developer upright to purchase this, you can now just deposit Terra USD into the Pylon gateway contract. And then the developer earns the tokens to be able to hire staff and to build out product through the yield that is being generated by the community's anchor deposits. And then in return, it gives you a sort of a genesis allocation of, you know, whatever the native or project tokens might be. So it's a great way to be able to invest in new initiatives and show support in the community without having to put a lot of your principal at risk.
That's awesome. Do any of my speakers have any questions up to this point? Akil, Dom, Akeem?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm half comatose, but I am actively listening. And remember, there's a 5-year-old climbing all over me to all the uncles in the world and all the people with kids. May God have mercy on all our souls on this Thanksgiving as they beat us up.
Black, you're a great uncle. For those that are currently requesting, please be patient. We will open up the floor to the community at the end of the conversation. Your patience is greatly appreciated in advance. My next question would be, can you touch upon, you know, Terra's partnerships?
Yeah, it is a bit of a sprawling ecosystem at this point. So I don't, you know, have visibility into everything. But some of the things that I've started to pay attention to these days is, so for example, like I have this thesis that, you know, layer one blockchains are kind of like nation states. So from Terra's perspective, all the things that we've built on top of the Terra blockchain are sort of like corporations or, you know, freelancers that make secure the economy domestic, right? But Terra being a stable coin, it can easily be exported to other ecosystems, like, for example, Ethereum, Binance Smart Chain, Solana, Avalanche, wherever there might happen to be user and developer activity. So one of the things that we've really started to ramp up on just this month, actually, is to, using the bridging infrastructure that we've been building out over the last year to bridge Terra USD to various ecosystems and work with partners there to make sure that our stablecoins are used as a cornerstone in the key DeFi apps and use cases that are built on each of these respective ecosystems. And overall, like, the state that we want to get to is where Terra USD is the most liquid and most used stablecoin across all blockchains, right? And once we get to that state, then in that case, we almost become too big to fail because, the stablecoin is the most important product in crypto. It's about 80% of all spot volume across centralized and decentralized exchanges. And if we can get to a state where we are denominating the most liquid pools deeply integrated into protocols, then in that case, we essentially get to a state where Terra USD is quoting the crypto industry. And sort of focusing on this, you know, foreign export component of the growth of our economy is something that we've been, you know, doubling down pretty hard on. So we've been working pretty closely with the Sabre team on Solana, which is the most liquid stable swap protocol. We work with the teams at, you know, Curve and Magic Internet Money on Ethereum, and in the case of MIM, a couple of different ecosystems. We've, you know, become very bullish on the Avalanche ecosystem. So we're going to be introducing, you know, various different types of bridging infrastructure by working with the teams at Axelar, as well as, you know, working with the key DeFi teams like Trader Joe's and a few other protocols in that ecosystem as well.
My next question was to be interoperability, but you already touched upon it, which was awesome. This is kind of a maybe a loaded gun question in a way, but can we consider, or can we even think about Terra Luna, you know, becoming an alternative to the current financial system?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think we have a real opportunity to be the quote currency for Web3, right? So while I believe that, you know, platform tokens are going to be very valuable, it's very difficult to use volatile assets like Luna or Ethereum or Bitcoin as a unit of accounts in most people's lives. So I think most people, you know, the average Joe is going to tend to think about their household savings in the unit in which they are paid and the unit in which they pay taxes. And I think it's going to be always the local fiat currency in whichever country they might happen to be living in. So from that perspective, I think if the masses set the unit of account for what they understand their money to be, I think that's just going to be the money. So in that case, I think we can get to a state where Terra USD sort of essentially overtakes Tether's position, where we become the quote currency of Web3. And then as to whether we replace the overall traditional monetary infrastructure, I think that's a question of how big Web3 can get. And while I think there's a very good chance that most people would be spending the vast majority of their waking lives on the internet in the metaverse, it's a little bit unclear at this point how long that would take.
I do think the metaverse is here to stay, and it's definitely going to occur sooner than later, in my humble opinion. Not sure what that means to the listeners, but that's what I, you know, that's my truth. You know, as you mentioned, you know, UST is, you know, a stable coin among others, and interoperability with Terra and whatnot. So my question would be, how can I phrase this properly? Do you see, you know, a day or a year in which where, you know, it would be attached to Bitcoin? Because as we all know, you know, everything within, you know, the crypto ecosystem is somewhat, you know, tied to the Bitcoin and whatnot. Do we see, you know, a day or a year when, you know, Terra Luna is not attached to Bitcoin, that it's running on its own two legs, where it's not pegged?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I think we already have some of these primitives that make Terra USD inflation resistant. So when we have a stablecoin that is pegged to the dollar, the question that most people ask is, well, like the dollar is like inflating at like, inflation in the US economy is like 5.5% per annum, right? Is this even like a good coin to hold, right? So people are starting to question whether fiat currencies can maintain their unit of account status. But that's where DeFi derivatives come in to play a role, right? So for example, we have another primitive in the Terra ecosystem called AUST, which is UST that's been deposited into Anchor and earning a 19.5% yield. So I call it the inflation decimating dollar because it's gaining at a rate that Anchor is giving yield, and that just happens to outstrip inflation in most modern economies by a factor of 4 to 10, right? So I think that's pretty meaningful. So I think we can imagine a situation where some of these derivatives get actively used as, you know, the base asset across various different types of apps as inflation and the money printer going brr gets worse and worse. But, you know, I think that's just another question of how you know, the Fed gets its shit together and how bad inflation gets over time.
I think, you know, before I go to Akil, you know, the inflation's only going to get worse. And I do believe in, you know, hyperinflation. Not sure where you stand with that, but my truth is, you know, hyperinflation is, if not here, is going to come. But nor here nor there. Akil, you had a hand up. I guess, you know, your nephew isn't climbing all over you right now. So what's going on, man?
That wasn't a nephew. It was a niece. And she
apologies.
Is gold. She might be the next Olympic or world champion. So just remember, the force is strong within that one. No, so I wanted to come and ask you, Daquan. So if I am someone looking to, you know, get into the crypto market, why Terra? Like, why be part of anything that's stable? I thought I wanted to remove myself from this world of currency where someone else controls it. What about Terra makes it not just a stable coin, but a stable coin that actually has the utility to create value for the consumer?
Yeah, so I think in order for people to be using crypto apps now, they need to jump over two psychological hurdles. Number one, they need to get used to a new financial system that's offering crazy yields but promising you user sovereignty. So obviously, I think you know, as somebody that is balls deep in the crypto industry, I think there's lots of things that are positive with that. But at the same time, I recognize that there are user challenges. Getting used to a system where there's no customer support, no centralized entity to whom you can ask questions, and, you know, owning the full responsibility of any hacks or software flaws that can underlie the protocol is a leap of faith. And I think the second thing is, learning to accept the inherent volatility of the underlying assets of these protocols. Like, so for example, like if you're using Uniswap, like learning to accept ETH as a quote currency or a reserve currency in the system is, I think, another leap of faith that people have to take. Now, while this economy is going to keep growing, this also keeps a lot of people on the sidelines. So I think just the reality is that vast majority of people, I think by a factor of 100,000, accept the US dollar as a unit of account rather than accepting ETH or Luna or Solana as a unit of account. So I think what that means is, as you know, DeFi apps and other structures that we build on top of blockchains, they're going to increasingly favor stablecoins. And we are already starting to see that, right? Like in the early iterations of DeFi apps, most of the quote currencies were either native tokens, like the route that, you know, Thorchain decided to go to, or in some sort of like native blockchain platform token, like in the case of ETH, for instance. But with new protocols that are coming out with, you know, perpetuals and options and interest rate swaps and IDO platforms, people are starting to increasingly favor stablecoins because that's what the users want. And if you believe that people are going to have a preference for stablecoins, right, which is the product that has most strongly proven out product market fit in all of crypto, and number two, if you believe that stablecoins in the future need to be decentralized, then I think you can conclude that Terra USD is going to grow in a very, very strong way. And if you believe that Terra USD is going to grow, then you have to believe in the quadratic growth of Luna as an asset.
That's awesome, dude. So for those that are just joining the room right now, we have Terra Luna on an AMA. Dude, if you wouldn't mind going over again, you know, if you could separate, please and thank you, Terra, and then UST. We'd love just a quick little spiel for those that are new to the room and, you know, would love to learn about, you know, this coin that's very, very complicated and technical.
Sure. So the easiest way to understand Terra USD is that it's a market leader in decentralized stablecoins. So just as a brief overview, stablecoins are the most important product in crypto. So stablecoins underlie about 80% of all volume across centralized and decentralized exchanges. It quotes most of the DeFi protocols across DEXs, lending markets, and whatever use case might happen to be built on blockchains. But the key problem that we face now is that most of these stablecoins are centralized and held hostage to regulatory whims. So the future that we're predicting is that as regulatory pressure starts to build up, as the crypto industry continues to grow, we are going to have a pronounced preference for decentralized stablecoins, where, you know, DeFi builders that are using these stablecoins don't have to fear whether their use cases will be blacklisted or held hostage to the underlying issuer or whoever feels like they have a right to command the underlying issuer. Now, if you believe in this future, TerraUSD is a really interesting asset because, you know, everybody in the world that holds the Luna token can hold the keys to the mint. Anybody can mint or redeem Terra stablecoins. Nobody can shut down the network. There's no use cases that can be censored, no transactions that can be reverted. And yeah, so if you believe in two things, that number one, stablecoins are going to play an important role in the crypto industry as it grows. And number two, that stablecoins need to be decentralized in the future, then you know, Terra and Luna is a very exciting ecosystem to get involved in.
Awesome. Thank you, Doe. We appreciate you. Guys, once again, just to reiterate, nothing, you know, myself or my fellow speakers say up here is financial advice. Whatever you choose to do with your money or do not do with your money is just yours solely, you know, to lose or gain. And we are not responsible for anything that does happen. We just provide entertainment as well as, you know, education. And that's it. We hope you guys have a, you know, great time listening to us here tonight. Doe, would you mind kind of, you know, speaking upon the Luna wallet? For those that, you know, maybe currently have Luna and it's you know, stashed somewhere else and whatnot, and what separates, you know, the Luna wallet between other wallets such as Trust Wallet and, you know, maybe a hard wallet?
Well, so like there are reference wallets like Terra Station, but Trust Wallet, for instance, supports Terra and Luna. There's some like extremely user optimized wallets, like for example Zengo, of which we are, you know, strong fans. There's also cross-chain wallets like XDeFi wallet and Liquality, which just started to support the Terra ecosystem. So you have a lot of options as a user in terms of what wallet experience that you would like to select. But we also have a reference wallet that's been built out by our team called Terra Station, which I think has some UX benefits as well.
That's awesome. Any of my speakers have any questions up to this point?
Well, I would have had another follow-up question if you wouldn't have interrupted me, Forte.
You just cut me off, Akil. You know how it goes. You know, if you don't cut me off, you know I keep rambling.
Yeah, it's all good. So, Daquan, I did want to ask, as the securities are being looked at, right, this is not – is this a security or, you know, what's the probability of the feds coming in and asking or looking at this and saying, hey, this is a security? And I'm talking from the U.S. standpoint. Obviously, that's all I can go off of is my locality. But I see that there is movement in other places. Like currently right now, the Indian parliament is even going to take up a crypto a bill trying to like end cryptocurrencies. And so I do get worried about this space. And yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not a lawyer, so it's hard to look at. I think like the bar as to whether like an investigator will ask questions is really low, right? Like the regulator doesn't determine what is a security and what is not. The courts of law do, right? But at the end of the day, I think the better question to ask is whether this system can have censorship resistance. And there's nothing that bringing a case against any set of entities can do to cripple the Terra Luna system, right? Anybody can mint Terra, redeem Terra by using a set of mathematically governed rules that are enforced by hundreds of validators across the world that are mostly anonymous. So once you're in the state where you have a fully decentralized network governing its own monetary policy, a strong user base of close to a million, actually like 3 million wallets that are interacting with, you know, Terra stablecoins, using it for, you know, hundreds of different use cases, then in that case, it's kind of hard to say that there's, you know, centralized coordinated effort by a single or any small group of entities.
Akil, that's your question, or do you have a follow-up question before I cut you off again and you start complaining?
No, it was fair. I mean, again, like, you know, as kind of like one of those like scholarly minds in this space, I know there's the tech side and then there's the legal adaptive side. So that's just kind of where my brain went to. And I know it's hard to actually get those. I mean, I know most guys are waiting for legal opinions for, you know, 3-4 years. I mean, the reason Ripple ended up in the situation that they're in is effectively is that the government wouldn't give them a legal opinion when they asked them the first 3 times. So I totally understand it's hard to decide, and even it's out of your hands and your control.
Cool. Well, to be fair, I never asked for one, so.
So somewhat off topic, but how can I say this? It's kind of a loaded question. Do you see a future in where most cryptocurrencies, as well as, you know, Terra, are not linked to Bitcoin? And is that possible?
Yeah, I certainly think so. So you actually have small locales of lots of cryptocurrencies that are exhibiting very low Bitcoin correlation, right? So for example, like a good example of that has been, let's say, metaverse assets. So given that they're like the fundamentals of these gaming assets have been driven by either gaming speculation or the users that are buying these assets to be able to participate in games, sort of the attendant cash flows or like the fundamental user interaction of these assets has, you know, largely been disconnected with Bitcoin over the last 6 months or so. As we start to diversify the various use cases behind crypto and like the user base gets larger for a lot of these major assets, I think we're going to start to see lower and lower correlation over time. Now, I think Bitcoin is going to set the macro environment and sentiment. But I think the importance of that, Bitcoin dominance is going to diminish as the market matures.
I completely agree. I'm not too sure if you guys are involved in this topic, but you had mentioned it twice tonight. So which begs my question, is Terra, you know, slash Luna, or UST even for a matter of fact, going to be involved, if not already, in the metaverse?
So we're doing a couple of things. So it kind of took me by surprise that, you know, over the last 4 years, we've just been thinking really deeply about financial use cases like payments and savings and, you know, DeFi. And it just came as a complete surprise to me that all these public gaming companies are wanting to build games on top of Terra. And it's for reasons that I honestly hadn't really even thought about. So for a lot of, multinational gaming publishers, they have a preference to, you know, if they're thinking about like creating play-to-earn games, for instance, they have a distinct preference for, you know, building reward systems for users that are denominated in local currencies. Because it doesn't really make sense to give out USD or a USD stablecoin to a user in Indonesia, for instance, or give out Japanese yen to a Korean user. So users are very comfortable with the fiat currency in the countries where they're based, and Terra is unique in that it offers that easy FX stablecoins across most major fiat currencies. So we support about a little over 20. Different fiat currencies at the moment. So this just makes it really easy to build play-to-earn experiences where you can off-ramp very easily into a bunch of different stablecoins.
That's awesome. Do you guys have any, you know, future endeavors to get involved within the NFT space now? Because that's also a space that's currently growing. Despite it being NFT winter right now, as some people consider it to be, do you guys have any future endeavors, as mentioned, within that realm of the crypto space?
I don't want to,
if you can't speak about it due to legalities, do not worry.
Yeah, all I'll say though is that there was one of the largest internet companies in the world started building a metaverse whereby you can import your 2D avatars into sort of like a fully experienced metaverse, and then that 2D avatar turns into like a 3D character that you can use to walk around and interact with users, go to karaoke and, things like that. And then the idea is that if when users are importing their NFTs, like Galactic Punks or, you know, Pudgy Penguins or whatever that might be, they're importing their wallets with them. So with that purchasing power, this metaverse becomes a really attractive place in which you can create a commerce experience. So I think that's, you know, pretty cool.
I'm also a firm believer in that space, for what it's worth, the listeners. So kind of, you know, turning the wheel back here for a moment. So if me, myself, or my team was to, you know, build something, let's say, for instance, on Terra, how would we go about doing so?
Well, a good place to start is at Discord. You can, you know, come online, ask questions. And then, you know, we also have a accelerator that we run on a quarterly basis. It's called Space Camp. You can join, learn how to build apps on top of Terra. We match you with either entrepreneurs. So we match talent to capital to ideas. So as a result of that, like, even if you don't have an idea that you want to work on, if you're passionate about building something on the first credible attempt at building a decentralized, fiat peg currency, then I think Space Camp is a great place to start. At Discord, a great place to start. And our team is always available to walk you through this journey in case you get stuck or have questions.
That's awesome. Is there anything me or my team missed in terms of asking questions that you would like to say to the audience before we open up the floor, if that's okay with you?
No, I think that was pretty comprehensive. Let's do the floor.
Perfect. All right, guys, before I bring you guys up, we thank you for your patience once again, despite it being Thanksgiving. We thank those all 900 of you being here tonight on behalf of my team and I, as well as, you know, Luna, for being here tonight. On that note, please do not ask questions related to price or price prediction. Please ask all appropriate questions. Otherwise, you know, I will take you off stage and, you know, I won't have any remorse for that. Without further ado, we will open up the floor. Let me bring up. Hold on.
When he says he'll kick you off, he really means he'll kick you off.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't have much patience for, you know, silly questions, to say the least. And please be respectful. What's going on, Gnome?
What's up, guys? Daquan, I've been a long time holder of Luna. I've used your Anchor, or I don't know if they're partners, but Anchor Protocol. Only thing I didn't hear you touch on earlier, I might have been late, but was your insurance coverage that's works with Anchor. So I don't know. People probably should know about that. It's part of your, I guess, to way to minimize risk on that 19% APR. But also, I was just wondering, what are y'all doing, like, say, crypto.com and Coinbase? Are y'all working on making moves to get UST in there? Because I know that would be, like, one of the main things to, you know, because you're fast on sending transfers, so, and cheap. So I'm just wondering, like, a better alternative, obviously, than USDC on Ethereum. So I was just wondering, what are y'all doing, or are y'all near getting in those doors? And that's it.
So with respect to insurance, there's a number of options available on Anchor. There's InsureAce, there's Risk Harbor, there's Nexus Mutual. So coverage, whenever it comes online for any of those insurance protocols, it gets sold out in minutes. And also we're building a native insurance protocol on top of Terra called Ozone. This is being spearheaded by the Risk Harbor team. So it's going to have about $1 billion in coverage funded by the community pool when it starts. So I think that's also going to be pretty attractive. With respect to getting UST on Coinbase and crypto.com, my understanding is that it's on both for many jurisdictions. Now, the version that's available on Coinbase is an ERC-20 wrapped version. But to my understanding, they're working on a native integration for the Terra blockchain version, and that should be live shortly.
Okay, cool. Well, I wish you all the best of luck, and y'all definitely have a product that's needed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Noam. We appreciate your patience and your question. Next, I will be bringing up Frederick. He's just connecting. Give him a moment. Hey, Frederick.
Hey. Hey, I have a question for Doe.
Of course,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I've seen that USD supply keeps on increasing due to the burning, but in the stablecoin market, we need a lot of volume, right? And I'm also aware that there's Kado Money and Alice Finance, and that's going to bring new people, increasing the usage. But my question is, are there anything being worked on by Terraform Labs to increase volume, or even plans to take market cap from other centralized stablecoins?
So to answer the market cap question first, we're the fastest growing stablecoin in the market. Just yesterday we added about 66 million in USD market cap, and you know, which represents a good chunk of growth. But I think that's going to continue. So before the end of the year, I'm thinking we'll hit about 10 billion in USD, which represents, I think today, about a 38% growth for the last month of the year, which I think is pretty good. And it's going to come from like a use of, large number of different use cases. It's going to come from, you know, like interchain expansion to increased user traction on existing apps, more efficient infrastructure and things like that. So hard to pinpoint, you know, the one area in which that growth is going to come from. The second part about volume, CoinMarketCap and CoinGecko actually doesn't report all the venues in which Terra USD is being traded. So for example, just on Curve, there was, I think, almost $200 million worth of volume on just the MIM to USD pair. So I think everything combined, like Terra USD volume is well in the hundreds of millions. I think it's going to seep into, you know, the billion category by the end of the year. So I don't know. I feel pretty good about volume, and I feel pretty good about market cap. And I don't think there needs to be a silver bullet that helps us along in the path that we're already on.
All right. Thank you so much, Do and Andrew.
Thanks for your question, man, as well as your patience. I'm bringing up Luca next.
I was going to say, you just got real quiet, Andrew. I was wondering what was going on there.
I like your new PFP block. What's going on, Luca?
Hello. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having yourself. Me.
Of course, doing well. Thanks doing for your well. Patience.
Yeah, no, thank you. This question is for Doe. How are you doing, Doe? For Ozone specifically, I guess, can you walk me through the mechanics of how the insurance protocol operates? I guess, like, fundamentally speaking, how is the insurance protocol itself not susceptible to the smart contract risks they're trying to protect, like, in a sense?
Oh, it definitely is. So, for example, if Anchor breaks and Ozone also breaks at the same time, yeah, then we're screwed, right? Like, yeah, if the insurance protocol fails, then that's not great. So in traditional finance, they have, multiple of these redundancies, right? So you have insurers, you have reinsurers, and then you have financial institutions that break up those insurance contracts and buy them to hedge risk and things like that. But, we're in the early innings of forming insurance on top of blockchain. So we're not going to have that from day one. But keep in mind, though, that if you think about like the risk of a smart contract failure of a major protocol as a low probability event, it's kind of difficult for both those protocols to fail at the same time. So for example, if the chances of Anchor failing smart contract is, let's say, 1% or below, and then you can gauge similar risk for Ozone, for instance, let's say 1%, then in that case, the odds of both of those things happening at the same time is less than 10,000 to 1. Another thing to keep in mind, though, is that while other protocols like Anchor are intended to, you know, like innovate and, you know, have DAO-governed proposal upgrades and mechanism updates and things like that, so these are living and breathing organisms. Whereas for insurance protocols, like by design, they're intended to move much, much slower, if at all. So as with the passage of time, like the Ozone code base and the strength of its mechanisms will be tested, calcified, and become more proven and robust over time. So it just makes it, from a risk perspective, a robust piece of infrastructure to be able to govern apps that are changing and being updated frequently.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate all you guys' time.
Thank you, Luca.
No, thank you.
I'm bringing up Julian next. Joe, are you good for two, three more questions, and then we'll wrap it up. It's approaching 9 o'clock.
yeah, let's make Julian's question the last one, and then
okay, no problem.
Cool.
That was one of
Hey, Julian.
Hey, thanks for your time, Del. I wanted to ask, do you think it's worth it for the community to start up their own validator node, and kind of what's the best way to get started with that? If it's like helpful to actually have validator nodes kind of running everywhere to make it more decentralized, and what your thoughts are on that. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely helpful. And some of the largest validators on Terra are recently started community validators. So for example, there's Orion. I think it has, it could be the largest validator on Terra, actually, if not the second largest, with about 26 million Luna that's staked to it. You know, so close, I think over $1 billion in Luna staked at the moment. And then there's also, you know, things like the Angel Protocol validator, you know, Flipside Crypto validator, that all have their own unique edges to contribute to the ecosystem and data and analytics to charity. But also, I think it's helpful when you're launching a validator to have a unique value proposition to the community. That helps you get more delegations and form a loyal community of people around you that can be passionate about governance or whatever your unique contribution to the ecosystem might be. And it's pretty easy to do it. So you can talk to, so you can go to docs.terra.money. It should have easy setup instructions for how to set up a validator. If you run into specific problems, like you can ask for a link to the validator Discord from the main Discord, and then somebody will be able to let you in, and you know, the OG validators will guide the way.
Awesome, Dill. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm trying to get started with a validator and just was looking for the best options and trying to help the system grow. Thank you.
Sounds
Thanks, good. Julian. So, Dill, we have about 20 people requesting. Obviously, we can't get to every question, evidently, you know, it being Thanksgiving and whatnot. So, once again, we appreciate everybody that came out tonight. For those that are currently requesting, Dill, where can they, you know, ask these questions in the Discord? You guys have a special email. They can email, you know, some all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I think Discord is a good channel. I'm also pretty active on Twitter, so you know, I mean, to be honest, like the odds of a DM being read is not super high, but you know, please do that. And then we also have AMAs like quite frequently, like at least once or twice a month. So you know, keep a lookout in the main Terra Money Twitter handle, and then you know, next time that we do these things, we'll try to get to you.
Awesome. You guys heard it here first. Now, before we wrap it up, is there anything else you'd like to say to myself as well as the community listening? Maybe some exclusive, you know, you're more than welcome to, you know, say your last piece.
Yeah. You know, thanks everybody for coming on. And it's an exciting time in the Terra ecosystem where there's a lot of, you know, directional things that are happening. So as I look at over the last year, I think the community has done a phenomenal job of constructing one of the most exciting layer one blockchains today. And I look forward to, you know, sort of doubling down on that ecosystem and then expanding the potential base of people that can build on top of Terra, as well as like, you know, looking to see Terra assets being used more actively across, you know, all smart contract ecosystems. So, yeah, thanks everybody for coming.
That's awesome. Guys, just to wrap it up, once again, thank you for everybody coming out. We hit about a peak, I believe, about 950 people. Pretty large turnout despite it being Thanksgiving. So, once again, we thank you, you know, from Dow, from Doe, myself, and the rest of my team. I am your host, Andrew Forte. This AMA is sponsored by G Media. We thank, you know, Doe for coming out. Dom, Akeem, Akil, thank you, guys.
Thank you, and have a great day and even better tomorrow.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Terra Spaces.